I'm just thankful we have a God who hears and answers prayer, a God that we truly can praise. Oh, what a God He is. We've been studying the book of... Thank you. I almost said Joshua, and I knew that wasn't right. We've been studying the book of Genesis. But before we get into that, our verse of the month is from what book? Joshua. That's right. Okay. Joshua 24:15. We've got it up on the screen. Can you read that okay in the back? I know there's a lot of words on there. I won't ask Ashton because he's got young eyes. Can you guys read that? Kind of. Okay, kind of. Good. Okay, let's go ahead and say this together. Joshua 24:15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua 24:15. Let's make that commitment every day to serve the Lord. God is a great God. Real quick, I think we've got a couple minutes we can do this. Ashton, let's get right to our books of the Bible with a keyword. We're going to run through the history books. I think many of you are familiar with those already. Go ahead and throw those all up there. Let's say them. Genesis, beginnings. Exodus, redemption. Leviticus, holiness. Numbers, journeys. Deuteronomy, obedience. These are the first five books of the law, or the Pentateuch. First five books of the Old Testament. And those are the key words that we've got that go along with those. Let's go with our history. Throw those all up there. Joshua, possession. Judges, apostasy. Ruth, kinsman, redeemer. 1 Samuel, transition. 2 Samuel, David's reign. And those are those ones. And then we've got the rest of our history books. 1 Kings, schism. 2 Kings, captivities. 1 Chronicles, worship. 2 Chronicles, warning. Ezra, the return. Nehemiah, refortification. Esther, providential care. As we look throughout the Bible, we can see God actively working. These are key words to help us as maybe you're reading through the book, and maybe it's a theme you can kind of keep in mind as you see all of this tied back together in that book of the Bible. So we'll spend some more time, hopefully next week, we'll spend some more time on the history books, working through those book with the key word. Go to the book of Genesis, if you will. We're back in Genesis. We're starting a new study this evening, or a new section. Last few weeks, we were talking about pride goes before destruction. And we ended up our study with which city? Starts with a B and ends with an Abel. Babel, that's right. The city of Babel and the Tower of Babel, and where the language was confused and where God created multiple languages. Did God already create language? Yes. And communication? Yes. But ultimately they were divided. Now we're going to get into this study and we see ungodly influences. How many of you know exactly what I'm talking about? Ungodly influences, right? How many of us have been an ungodly influence on someone in our life? All of us have, haven't we? That's a sad reality. But here, as we get into Genesis chapters 12, 13, and 14, we see some ungodly influences. Now, Noah, he was a just man who walked with God, but was he an ungodly influence when he got drunk on his sons? Was he ungodly an influence? He sure was, and we looked at that last week. But here we see some ungodly influences, Genesis 12. Turn to Genesis chapter 12. There's something I think we see that's incredible in Genesis 12. First few verses. What do we see? Maybe you're already familiar with this passage. What do we see in Genesis 12, the first few verses? There is a special relationship with God that is more powerful than human family relationships. Sadly, sometimes we know exactly what He's talking about. Sometimes even closer family situations than we desire or were to wish. But here we see ungodly influences. We see a covenant relationship here. A covenant relationship. What is a covenant? Okay, so we've got a promise. What was that, Claire?
A
an agreement. So there's an agreement with promise. Ultimately, I mean, in fact, throw up our definition there, Ashton, if you would. A covenant is an agreement, a pact, or promise. Really has all those involved in it. It's not just some small agreement. But ultimately, we see a covenant is really a powerful agreement. We talk about marriage and we call it a covenant relationship. When a young man or a young woman get married, when Chris and Hannah this summer get married, it's a covenant relationship they are establishing before God. They're beginning this in the sight of God. And it's a promise, a pact, an agreement they're making before God. Well, here in Genesis chapter 12, we see a covenant between God and man. Now, ultimately, who keeps this covenant, man or God? God does. Man, he keeps this promise to mankind. What an awesome God. We see there are two types of covenants. The first one is man to man. We talked about Chris and Hannah. Yes, man to woman, man to man, humankind to humankind. We see man to man. But the second type we see is God to man. God always upholds his promises. How many of you ever purchased land? Some of you might have done this. How many of you ever purchased land or a home or something on a handshake? Anybody do that? Like, I'm too young to do that. Okay, Jimmy, you've done that?
Well, we had to follow legal.
Right, but there was that agreement there. And there were years ago, that's all it took was a handshake. Because people upheld their promise. Well now, man, when we bought our house here in Stockbridge, the times I had to sign my name was unreal. I said I'd pay it. but me saying it's not good enough. But God saying it is always good enough. God said, there's an old song that says, God said it, I believe it, that settles it for me. I disagree with that song. God says it, that's enough. Whether I believe it or not, there are some people who don't believe in God, don't believe he's going to uphold his promise of eternity in heaven or damnation in hell. It doesn't matter whether they believe it or not. God said it, that settles it. And here we see God with Abraham saying it. Now we see the first promise we looked at of the promised Messiah. Does anybody remember? We referred to it a few weeks ago. And I pointed it out when we see kind of the beginning promises of the Messiah coming. Back in one of the early chapters here in Genesis. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. We see one of the early promises where God, again, we've got to see the curse, but God's promise that his son will come. Now here we see again another fulfillment or revealing of this promise. Again, not ultimately revealed. This doesn't say Jesus Christ is coming and he's going to die on the cross for their sins. But we see it again, some more of this promise revealed. Genesis chapter 12, again, this covenant of God. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Tell me, how have all families of the earth been blessed through Abram's family? One name is all I'm looking for. Jesus. So we see again some more fulfillment of this promise of this Messiah who's coming. But there's some ungodly influences. Even in the midst of all that God is doing, man is ungodly and sinful. Do you know, what I'm talking about, right? How many times do we commit to obey God and live for God and then we just kind of draw back? Well, here we see these covenant relationships that are established through faith. We go on. Verse 4, so Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Well, if you want some backdrop to this, you go back to Genesis chapter 11. And we're not going to read it, but verses 27 following. We see Abram's dad. Who was Abram's dad? Terah, right? We see him and how they had already moved and left. And now again, God is telling Abram, go. I will lead you. I will show you. I will bless you, and I will bless the world through you. Terah moved his family to Ur, present-day southern Iraq. How many of you say that is not the place to be? By the way, who do we need to pray for who's in Iraq? That's right. Amen. They're remembering. Ryan. Pray for Ryan as he's serving our nation there in Iraq right now. But this is where we see Terah had moved his family. God told Abram to leave. Genesis 12, verse 1. This is a complete break with his past. 2014, God told my family to leave Muskegon. Now, God allowed us to go back to Muskegon. I still didn't understand why. Now, I'm closer to Muskegon than I ever thought, but man, there's a break from Muskegon. I've told you, that's not home for us. Our hearts aren't in Muskegon. Our hearts are here. And man, we see Abram as he follows God. God completely severs some relationships because who needs to be priority? Earthly family or God? God. There's a covenant relationship here. There's a complete break with the past. He's giving up practically all natural ties. Now, he does take someone with him, Lot, but he gives up practically all natural ties, human relationships. Why? Why does he give them up? What's that? So he doesn't. He's not tied down to that, and he's free to obey God, what God says. So that he's fully committed to God. The Bible reminds us there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Did Abram leave a brother? Now, one of them already left. His one brother died. And he's got his brother's son with him, Lot. But here, there's a complete break with his past. Now, today, we have communication. I texted my brother this afternoon. Had some questions for him about hymnals and stuff. And so I was texting my brother. And man, he could get back with me that quick. Abram couldn't do that with his brother very quick. The reality is when he left all and followed God. That's what God wants. A covenant relationship. God said, Abram, trust me. Now, we have a lot of things that make it easier for us to trust ourselves or our family or other things today. But the reality is we must trust God that much that I'm willing to obey God even through the difficult times of life. When life gets hard. God promised blessings. Verses 2 and 3, we already read those. God promised blessings. He promised to make Abram a great nation. He promised to make Abram prosperous, both in his business, his family, and in his faith. That's how I want to be prosperous. Not based upon me, but upon God. In business occupation or in business endeavors, whether it's driving to Arizona again, or whether it's at work, or whether it's in odd jobs I'm doing, I want God to make my life successful in business. But man, I want God to make my life successful in family. In family. It doesn't always work out that way. But I need to be faithful with what I've got left, with the opportunities that I am entrusted with. Abram left a lot of his family, but did he have some with him? Lot. He had to be faithful with that. But then God was going to bless his offspring. Did Abraham, who we call Abraham, and we'll get into that, did he have a son that, yes, was prosperous, but not for God? He sure did. Sad situation. But God promised to bless his family. And there may be things that go on in your family, in your home, and it grieves your heart. But let's be faithful and entrust to God our family. And then his faith. Oh, his faith. I want God to bless my faith. I want him to make me successful as a Christian. Not in other people's eyes. But that others can be blessed through me like others were going to be blessed through Abraham. Does Jesus' salvation have anything to do with Abraham? Not really. He obeyed and God promised blessing. But Abraham doesn't get the glory, does he? It's Jesus. But what a blessing to say, that's through my heritage. Oh, let's let God bless our faith. Aren't you thankful we have a God who wants to make a covenant relationship with us? And many of us in this room know Jesus Christ as Savior. Let's let God bless our family, our faith, and our endeavors.